It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with Daniel Pryor this week. And Daniel is the host of the Sound Mind broadcast. Been on, a couple years now, it seems like. Maybe a little over a couple years. How long has it been, Daniel?
I think it's been a bit over. When I'm thinking about how long I've been on radio, it extends beyond that. But I've been here at KCIS for at least a couple years.
You used to be on another station. In fact, you were trying to be on two stations at once there for a while. So we're glad that you landed on KCIS permanently. Yeah. Hey, this week we are talking about the importance of having friends. How do we have friends? Why do we have friends? Mm-hmm. Now, we're not talking about how many Facebook friends you have. In fact, that's probably been a real detriment to friendships.
I think it's certainly a distraction. You know, it's the same word, friends, but it means something almost entirely different.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, why are friendships, you say here on some of your notes, friendships are the fabric of personal wholeness?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important for people to realize the role that friendships play. And I have people who, clients and people that I know who, for one reason or another, get set in a certain way of life. And friendships have a way of, if you have five friends and you're not going out looking for more, as you get older in life, you know, things happen to those friends. People move away. And so there's a lot of us who are not inclined to continue to look for friends, per se.
Make new friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not inclined to that. We sort of let, you know, that area of life is kind of on autopilot. And if we run into somebody, we do. And if we don't run into so it's important for us to consider the role that friendships play in many areas, in physical health, in mental health, in spiritual growth. And so I wanted to talk a bit about that. But yeah, I have this the opening phrase here, that friendships are the fabric of personal wholeness. And I don't think that's a thought that is that you hear very often, because we're, particularly in Western culture, Western society, and particularly possibly in America, we have this what's been referred to as hard individuality, where the need for other people is almost seen as a weakness. Mm-hmm. And so we want to, you know, do it on our own, stand on our own. We run the risk of doing something that I'm becoming aware of, a danger, a certain kind of motivation. I think I've mentioned this possibly on the radio before, but certainly with some of my clients. The idea of being motivated in life by negative messages as opposed to being motivated in life by positive messages. And I won't go into that a lot today, maybe do a show on that, but just to briefly explain it, I have referred to it in the past as an imaginary audience or an invisible audience. And these would be people from your past. They could be friends. They could be family members. They could be people, a book that you've read, an autobiography or a biography. So it may not have been someone that you've met. But they would be people who, they're in what I call your imaginary audience. And these are people for whom you change. Now, how do I know that I'm changing for these people? Well, a clue might be, if you do something well, or if you do something not so well, if someone comes to your mind, this would be the obvious one. If someone comes to your mind and you're thinking, what would they think? That's an indicator that they're in what I would call your imaginary audience. And so they're people for whom we perform. Some people are motivated by people who told them they could never make it. You have sports people who always play with a chip on their shoulder. And it's sort of like, a very popular thing to be a competitive athlete with a chip on your shoulder. Then other people are motivated by people who believe in them. You know, Mark, you're a good guy. You've got what it takes. I know you're going to do well, and you live up to that. The difference in these two, although both might perform or might produce a certain kind of work, people who are motivated by negative messages never cross the finish line. Even if you please the person who said you couldn't make it, you tend to go out and look for another person who says you can't make it. And so your competition is fear and shame based. Mm-hmm. Whereas people who are motivated by positive messages are always crossing the finish line. I mean, even if you disappoint a person who believes in you, they still believe in you. Mm-hmm. And even if you fall short of a goal, it seems to be a stepping stone.
It's ironic that you would think that parents would be the cheerleaders of kids, but so often that is not the case. It's a lot of times it is a parental, you're never going to amount to anything kind of thing that came from your family of origin.
And
would be a lot more harmful.
And a lot of times I've heard people say, or kind of found it in the stuff that we go through, that parents didn't expressly send on a negative message, but by implication, because they
neglect, not paying attention.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was like a sin of omission rather than a sin of commission.
Right.
Or people get to the point where they don't think of their parents in terms of a negative comment or a negative motivation. But if they stop to think back into it, there have been these subtle messages of you can't do well. And a lot of times that comes from a parent who the parent's preaching to himself or herself. They don't feel they've done well in life, sure. And they're trying to achieve through the kids. So I have here, again, relationships or friendships are the fabric of personal wholeness. And we need to, if we're going to be healthy, we need to begin to realize that we're not islands unto ourselves. The phrase, I'm my own man, or no man is really his own man. Our wholeness is a fabric, and it involves relationships and friendships. So we have this hard individualism, and there was a writer, Scott Peck, some years ago, you might be familiar with that name, wrote Road Less Traveled, Different Drums, and he referred to kind of a soft individualism where the individual is defined within the community. So you have your uniqueness, but your uniqueness is within a community, and you have to have some time.
Well, I think this idea of community is a good part of millennials and younger people right now. Community is a big deal to younger people coming up today, don't you think? Have you noticed?
Well, to be more specific, are you talking then about Facebook again, or?
Well, not Facebook. I think just the idea of being part of a community is more important than, like, perhaps the baby boomers or Gen Xers. The more current, being part of a community is very important.
Yeah. So I know that there seems to be, of course, it could have been true about my generation too, but there seems to be more of a them and us kind of an attitude. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, I don't know. It seems like I notice it as something. It's very important. It's a virtue to be part of the community. Mm-hmm. And if I do this, it's going to wreck my community or bless my community
or my friends or
right.
Okay. Yeah. And I certainly like to see. I certainly like to see or hear encouraging words about, for example, the Christian community. I always hope to hear and experience that growing, and young people finding something in that environment, that a community within that environment. Community is certainly important. It's shared realities, shared boundaries, empathy, which we've talked about on shows before, and we're going to talk about it a little bit on this show, of the development of personality. I have down here, and you had asked the question about the industry centered or industry driven. When we're talking to people who are a little bit short on the in terms of friendships, or don't maybe feel the need to go out and look for friends or add friends or have friends, as I said, they kind of have that on autopilot. I'm probably talking to people who are. I'm going to use the term industry-centered, and then I'll explain that. We've talked about in shows before how that in order to grow your world, growing your world is, instead of moving back into the past, back toward shame, back toward fear, back toward anger, back toward addictions, to where my world is smaller, 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 to where there's no room in my world for other people, only myself. Moving the opposite direction to enlarge my world, I'm moving toward two things. I'm moving toward industry or challenge, and I'm moving toward relationships. in balance. So when and people tend to err one way or the other. So people who have difficulty with friendships, they tend to emphasize their accomplishments in to measure their value, control, and power. People who are short on accomplishments, they don't feel like they're achievers. Maybe they feel a little bit of shame about lack of achievements, and they might describe themselves as, I don't know how to do anything well. Or those people will kind of err toward depending upon or relying on relationships for their value, control, and power. There's dysfunction on both sides of those. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking to people who don't have friends, we're probably talking to people who rely on accomplishments for value, control, and power. But there needs to be balance. So talking about really about personal development, and that's development of your personality. Personality suggests the nature of one's interactions within a community of persons, which comes as a surprise to people, I think, that we tend to think of my personality as something that I've kind of been born with, and it's me, and people typically don't look at personality as something that can be honed, developed, altered, enlarged, improved, et cetera, those kinds of things. And so I want to stress here that personality really just refers to one's interactions within a community of persons. Mm. So when I say a personality disorder or a disordered personality, I'm referring to a person who doesn't have interactions in the community of persons. Personality, the whole term and what it implies, doesn't have any value outside of my relationship with persons. Mm. So again, we're talking about how important friendships are. And
so important there. So getting back to the industry-centered person, who I would think that there'd be major personality problems there if you're gauging everything on your life by your accomplishments. Mm-hmm. That's going to cause some personality challenges, isn't it? If you have no friends, all you have is one-upmanship, yeah. and I did it better than anybody else.
And we've talked on shows before about how the core of any personality is a defense mechanism. A personality is fundamentally a defense mechanism, and then we develop that defense mechanism. So people who are afraid of other people don't develop their personalities. Now, so the APA has identified 10 personality disorders. Well, you'd say in order to have a personality disorder, you have to have a personality, and quite a personality in some instances. That is, they're characterized mm-hmm. in ways. But again, what we mean by personality, it really is pointing toward my relationship with other people. So although a person, like, for example, a paranoid schizophrenic or a narcissistic personality might be, refer to a group of symptoms or something or characteristics about the person, one thing that will always be true about people with disordered personalities, and that points to all of us to some degree or another at some time or another, is that we're not getting along with other persons.
There you go. Okay, the importance of friendships in our own personal growth. Talking about that this week with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If people are struggling in this area, maybe they know somebody who is, they need some help on making friends. Now, I've often heard that, like, a counselor is important, but it can be a friend, but you don't want to pay, we're not want to pay you to be our friend. I mean, that's right. It's not that kind of a relationship. Yeah. So it's important to have counselors in our life and professionals like Daniel. So how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland on the journey today with Daniel once again. The Sound Mind broadcast this week looking at the subject of the importance of having friends And you talked about the idea of people having friendships that are industry-centered. That would be people who just are trying to be one-upping each other, accomplishment-driven, and don't have a lot of friends. And then maybe another extreme, though, people get all of their worth out of their friendships and don't really seem to have any worth on their own.
And they tend to be dysfunctional relationships because this is the sort of person who you would describe as sucking the life out of you or something. Like that. It seems that they never bring anything to the relationship and they're relying on you to make them feel good or validate them and that kind of thing. So there needs to be balance. People often feel, and I think we read this in popularized psychology and things like that about how ways of being a more empowered person, and a big chunk that's missing in a lot of that is the critical importance of relationships in becoming a better person. When we talk about personal development, human beings are hardwired to be in community. Someone else said it. Jean-Paul Sartre said that you can't be you can't have being outside of the community of beings. Mm. So you can. There's existence there, but to be a person, have personal being requires that you do so in the context of other beings. So you are who you are in relationship. When we talk about developing, development presupposes some kind of an outcome, and the outcome for developing myself is there's a kind of a standard set by other selves. It's called the human community. So I want to talk about how that relationship is critical for those of us who are feeling a little bit, you're living a little bit like a turtle in the shell. You sort of you've kind of gotten comfortable in your world the way it is, and not really any people that you would call close friends, or maybe you've got a friend, but there's sort of like a codependency and maybe an addiction is involved or something like that, and you seem to be your world is getting smaller. You have more depression, more anxiety than you used to have, shorter temper than you used to have. There's more worry and concern about things than you used to have, not the energy you used to have. And so maybe you've got one friend or two friends, but you seem to be dragging each other down. So developing relationships and friendships, going out there now, you're not going to have everybody you meet isn't going to be a close friend, but you have to have acquaintances in order to build friendships. But friendships, relationships are critical for developing, for personal development and growth. So growing, in developing or growing as a person and in relationships, which happen together. And I'm saying you don't develop as a person if you're not developing relationships. This has to do with sharing reality, sharing boundaries, and sharing empathy, which is not something that you're inclined to do if you are becoming like the turtle in the shell.
Right.
You are less empathetic. You have your own boundaries, whether other people agree with them or not. And you have your own reality, and it's kind of the them and us thing, and just getting smaller and smaller. So we have to turn that around, and you turn it around by focusing on empathizing. You're intentional about empathizing. Reacting to other people's joy and sadness in a way that actually is deep within a physiological response. You become intentionally interested in other people. You become intentionally aware of their boundaries and so that you share boundaries. So these are things that you do intentionally. You're not going to find friendships on autopilot, particularly as we're getting older, and there's a lot of single people there that are getting you see yourself getting older and up into the 40s and 50s and 60s and it just seems that friendships are harder to come by, so it requires more effort. Friendships are critical for physical health. James Lentz wrote years ago about a premature death syndrome that happened on the tail of the First World War and coming into the Second World War, and they were tracing all kinds of things. Is it smoking? Is it too much pasta? what's causing this? And after all the research was done, and James Finch went out with a team and kind of did his own research based on a lot of the data that they had pulled in, he kind of surmised that they were looking in the wrong direction. And what he found is a lot of evidence to point that what was missing was relationships, and this is why people were
dying too early.
Dying early, yeah.
No friendships.
And the war explained a lot of that, because there were a lot of men that died and women that died in the First World War and Second World War, and it just destroyed communities. Mm-hmm. And so, good for physical health. This book, the name of the book is The Broken Heart, Medical Consequences of Loneliness. And lots of material in that book. Relationships are also fundamental for dealing with life, past, present, and future. We are not wired to handle our life experiences alone. We need to understand those things and to rightly experience those things and to kind of reap good from those things and be able to process the good and the bad. It needs to be done with other people.
And marriage is good, but even married people need friends.
Even married people mm-hmm. need other relationships. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, more functional marriages are, and they're healthier and they're more healthy for us. A lot of people that aren't in particularly healthy relationships, and they think that, well, I got to find my friendships outside of the marriage. A lot of times that comes back and bites us, because I think we should take care of the marriage relationship first. Otherwise, those other relationships tend to be dysfunctional. But another book by James Lynch, The Cry Unheard, where he's talking about people sharing their stories, death camp survivors, for example, sharing their stories, and how that the sharing of that story lightens the load and the impact of that very horrific experience. Another book that went hand in hand with that by Kurt Thompson was The Anatomy of the Soul, where in relationship, when you're sharing your life experiences and you have someone who understands and can relate to that, even the neurological reality or the neurological event that is wrapped around that storyline actually changes. So a person who is trying to overcome grief of a lost one or something, when they're sharing that story with someone else and the other person is caring or supportive, the neurology wrapped around that horrific narrative is actually changed, and it becomes less horrific over time. Mm. And so it's a way of – so we look for friends. Where do we look for friends? Obviously, you're going to have not all going to be, deep personal friends, but basically I've broken it down. We have social friends. We have, that is people who we just meet and our friendship is merely something that's social. And those are probably the more superficial friendships. We can afford to have superficial social friendships. And then as Christians, I know we have spiritual friends, and that's people with whom we share beliefs. So social friends, we would share interests, golfing, fishing, reading books, and that sort of thing. Spiritual friends and relationships, there would need to be some kind of unity in our beliefs. And then we have personal friends, and those are with whom we share experiences. Now, you're not going to find these people if you're at home. You're going to have to go out. You're more likely to find social acquaintances in a social setting. So I'd say try to identify something that you could really enjoy doing.
And you're not talking about romance. You're talking about friendships.
I'm talking about friendships, uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. Try to find something that you really would enjoy doing, and then get out of your house and go get involved in that, and you will meet some people who also enjoy it, and then you have, mm-hmm. Maybe not a deep friendship, but an acquaintance. Mm-hmm. Spiritual relationships are people that, you'll probably have to find those in a church mm-hmm. where you—
Small
you know,
group, a Bible study.
Right. Uh-huh. Personal experiences, the personal experiences can come from those first two. Okay, you'll always have more acquaintances than friends, but without acquaintances, friendships aren't likely. You can also look at acquaintances. That's the big net, that's the mm-hmm. The gill netting. So that's you got. And then from those acquaintances, you'll develop friends. Of course, developing relationships and friendships requires risk, and it really stretches and develops your personality, which is really fundamental to being a healthy person. Personalities aren't in concrete. We can change our personalities, grow our personalities by intentionally empathy, shared boundaries, shared reality. There's the scripture that says if you want friends, show yourself friendly. So you can say you have to show yourself in order to show yourself friendly. You have to show. You have to get out there and
want
to
have friends. Be a friend.
Yeah,
there you go.
And the way to be a friend, you know, in these various ways, is to go out and intentionally empathize, intentionally understand. You know, if you make it about yourself, you probably won't have friends.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make it about the other person.
Okay, some great practical advice this week. How important having friendships is in our own personality, our own mental health, our own sound mind. Got to have some friends. If you're having struggles with this, maybe you know somebody who's real isolated, needs some help on getting out of their shell, getting out of the tortoise shell, or as you were saying, Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. How do people get in touch with you?
You can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will also find podcasts of about 2 years of Sound Mind shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And locations?
In Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, another great show, Sound Mind Broadcast with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.